this ninth message, and the title of the message is Amen. Would you be able to say that? Amen. I'm going to ask again because this congregation is weak on Amen. You know I've been saying that. It's a very spiritual thing. Amen means I agree, truly. I consent. Emphatic yes. Okay? Would you say Amen? A little better. Okay, hopefully after this message you would have desire and faith to say Amen. Bible says, and the gospel says, as we are finishing up the Lord's Prayer, the glory is forever, Amen. There is eternity. Bible says there is eternity. Do you believe it? Do you say Amen to that? I'm going to try again. Do you say amen to that?
Amen.
The whole world doesn't say amen to that. They don't. They are atheists or functional atheists. What I mean by functional atheists is a lot of people say, yes, there is eternity and God, but they live as if there is no God and no eternity. There are plenty of them like that, outside the church, of course, and inside the church. Oh, Pastor, you are so, like, so blunt. Well, Jesus spoke like that. Jesus really spoke like that. Read the Gospels, right? And the God of the Bible speaks and deals with Amen. That's so interesting, right? God of the Bible speaks and deals with Amen, which means he speaks truly. Does he speak slyly? Does he speak lies? Does he speak, you mean one thing and you say a different thing? Does he speak like that? No, he doesn't. He speaks truly. He speaks certainly. And amen means also, it means I agree, yes, emphatic yes. That's why you should be able to say amen when we pray and when you hear the word of God. Who said amen a lot? Jesus. Amen, amen, I speak unto you. Truly, truly, I speak unto you. Unless you are born again, you will not enter into the kingdom of heaven. Look at me, please. You will not enter into the kingdom of heaven, people. I do not want to say that, but Jesus says, truly, truly, I say unto you, unless you are born again, you will not enter into the kingdom of heaven. Would you say amen?
Amen?
Okay, good. But there is more to it. Isaiah 65:16, Bible calls God, listen to this, God of truth. And the Hebrew word for the truth is amen. God of amen. Isaiah 65:16, our God is God of amen. Not only that, if you go to the Revelations chapter 2, the name of Jesus is what? Does anybody know? Amen. God the Father is Amen. God of Amen. And Jesus is resurrected Christ, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. His name is Amen. And I personally believe from the teaching of the scripture, Holy Spirit within you will stir you to say Amen. You will utter Amen. So Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Okay? So we're finishing up the study of Lord's Prayer, which is a model prayer or outline of prayer that Lord himself taught us, the disciples of Christ and the church. Do you have desire to pray? I know I've been saying this a lot. But what purpose is there? We teach 9 weeks on the topic of prayer, and there is no desire to pray. It makes no sense, right? But praise be to God, there are people who have desire to pray. Okay? People have desire to pray. Some don't, but some do. If you have that desire has been increasing in you, the desire to pray and seek God, commune with God, be humble before the Lord, seek his glory, kingdom, and his name. If that's been happening to you, would you say amen?
Amen.
There are people. I don't want you to miss out. Because you are all progressing with your life, And a lot of people say, as you get older, as your life gets a little bit more involved with marriage and children, or child or children, and a house, that becomes more difficult. Okay? And I see that's a lie. That's a lie this world tells you to believe in. The word amen is a Hebrew word. Okay? Hebrew word. And it is translated or transliterated into New Testament. And the word is what? Amen. Same thing. And it is used in Korea. And what's the word? Amen. In Russia, amen. In Africa, amen. Do you hear it? All over the world where Christianity has been introduced and preached, the word amen has been used as it is and transliterated as the word amen. Pretty amazing word if you think about it. Okay? And it means truly, 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 truly I speak unto you. Do you speak truly? Or do you say one thing and do you mean another thing? We human beings are not like God. But as we put our faith in Him and the Spirit of God lives in you, and the Spirit of God will convict you. Why do you speak like that? You don't really mean that. Spirit of God, because He's the Spirit of the truth and Spirit of Amen, He's going to tell you, why do you say one thing and you don't follow through? How do you follow Christ and how do you do your marriage untruthfully? Spirit of God will speak to us. So it means truly or certainly. It also means I agree, emphatic consent. Agree, yes, so let it be. That's why when we pray, I don't hear much amen. And that's discouraging, and it's also very unbiblical. Okay? Isaiah 65, I already shared. God is described as the God of truth twice, and the word truth is amen. So He's God of amen. Wow. Wow. Okay? So I want to share three ways the word amen is used in the Bible pretty quickly. Okay? One is asserting. Second is consenting, and third is petitioning, okay? So let me begin with that. The sense of asserting. When a person would give a authority to his word, either in the beginning or the end, you use the word amen. Jesus used it a lot. Truly, truly, I say to you, unless you're born again, you will not see the kingdom of God. Amen, amen, I say to you. Jesus said that a lot. It also, it's all over the New Testament. And let me give you just one of them. Bible says one thing, and it asserts by saying amen. Romans chapter 11, the last verse says, "For from Him and through Him and to Him are all things, and to Him be glory forever and ever. Amen." Who's saying amen? Paul is, because he's the author. But who wrote the Bible? It's through the inspiration of Holy Spirit. Meaning, it's God's amen. Do you hear it? It's all over the scripture. Okay? Second use is the consent. You agree. I agree. And two great examples is from Nehemiah chapter 8, verse 6. Can you imagine a nation crumbled down and they were taken as captive to superpower Babylon, so let's say Russia or United States, no offense, okay? You are captives, slaves to United States or let's say Russia, I'm sorry. But and then after 70 years, you come back to your own land. Can you imagine the emotion? Can you imagine the kind of like unity that the people would have? And they were gathered, okay? And under the leadership of Nehemiah and Ezra, Ezra was the priest, and Nehemiah was the leader, the first thing they did was restore the worship. And this is how it happened. Ezra stood before, and Ezra opened the book, the Bible, the scripture, when he opened the book in the sight of all the people, for he was above all the people, like myself. I'm a little bit above you right now, like physically, and you could see me. As I opened the scripture, you all stood up. That's why we stand up when we read the word of God. And Ezra blessed the Lord. He is great God. And all the people answered by saying, amen, amen. Can you imagine? Hundreds of thousands of people saying amen and amen in unison. Okay. Lifting up their hands, and they bow their heads and worship the Lord with their face to the ground. Would you do that? Can we do it right now? When I say, great is the Lord, you get up, you say, amen, amen, lifting up your hands, and you bow down and put your face on the ground and worship him. Could you do that? Would you be willing to do that? Why not? We are too modern people, right? We are just too sophisticated people, right? That's the worship people. In Deuteronomy, God made a covenant. It's like communion. It's like getting married. God made a covenant with this Israelites, and he gave the law. He gave the stipulation. Okay? Curses and blessings. I'm going to be your God, and you're going to be my people. I'm going to love you. I'm going to take care of you, and you love me. Love the Lord your God with all your heart. And the Israel people say, amen, amen. Would you be willing to say amen? Or you're always kind of like hesitating. People were assembled on the Mount of Ebal and Gerizim. When the curses and the blessings were both read in the hearing, people said, amen, amen. Can you imagine 200,000 men saying amen, amen at the same time? After the prayer, I don't hear many people say amen. The last use of the word amen is petitioning. And we conclude Lord's Prayer or any prayer that we do led by one of the church leaders or the elders or the pastors. When I pray and the congregation say amen, even during the prayer, I don't know whether you notice when Pastor Tim was praying, I was like, yes, that's right, Lord. Amen. Mm-hmm. Yes. I know some of you feel that. You should say amen. In the early church, it was customary for entire congregation to say amen, which is what we do. And Spurgeon, I read a sermon by Spurgeon titled Amen. It was written 250 years ago. It was so good. I could send you a copy. Okay? And in his sermon, he said, on record by Jerome, which is one of the church fathers of the early church, and this is what he wrote about the church, that the church at Rome, the people were so accustomed to say amen in the gathering of the early Christians so heartily. They say so heartily. Okay? So when they say amen, it sounded like a dash of waterfall. Amen! Or a clap of thunder. I heard it thunder last night. I didn't hear anything. Can you imagine that? In the early church, they put their life on the line for their faith. When someone praised God, they say amen, like a dash of waterfall or thunder. And then Spurgeon continues. Okay. I could wish that we, his church, were more uniformly and universally said amen at the close of our public prayer. I'm sure it is scriptural and apostolic. And I believe it'll be good for the congregation. I was like reading that. I was like, wait a minute. Isn't that what I say all the time? I was like, wow, that must be the heart of God. I never read this sermon until this week. 250 years ago, someone who was pastoring a church by name Charles Spurgeon said exactly the way I feel. As a congregation, I pray that New Heart will be able to say amen, uniformly, universally, at the close of a public prayer, with such a conviction, such yes, such agreement. We're going to see how you're going to say amen at the end of this service. I pray that God will change your heart. God will humble your heart. When we say amen at the end of a public prayer, it signifies, yes, be it. I agree. Emphatic yes. Consenting to the congregation, to the prayer, petitioning to God. So three uses of the word amen: asserting, consenting, and petitioning. Okay? I want to explain the teaching or the theology of amen. When I say theology, you say, oh, it's an extra knowledge. No, it's not. This is what amen means. In fact, as I was preparing this, I'm so convinced that we are the people of amen. Okay? Three places. First, 1 Corinthians chapter 14. Second, 2 Corinthians chapter 2. And third, Revelations chapter 5. Only three places, okay? The use of amen and teaching or theology of amen. First place is 1 Corinthians chapter 14, 16 says, this is what Paul wrote to Corinthian church. Otherwise, if you give thanks with your spirit, how can anyone in the position of an outsider say amen to your thanksgiving or your prayer when he does not know what you're saying? Okay? And this is what's going on. When someone was in chapter 14, when someone was praying in tongue, Bible doesn't say, Paul doesn't say, there is no speaking in tongue. It says much more than that. Look at the way he's writing it. When you pray, when you give thanks, how can anyone in the position of an outsider, someone who does not understand what you're saying, what you're praying, how could they say amen if they don't understand what you are praying? He's not saying, don't pray. He's not saying, there is no such thing as praying in prayer. It's a gift of the Holy Spirit. He's not saying that, but he's saying much more than that, much deeper than that. He's saying, if you want to edify a new believer or someone who doesn't understand the gospel, you need to speak in a way that they could understand so that they will be able to say amen. Which implies that it is the customary way of worshiping. When someone prays, the congregation say amen. And that's the teaching of the scripture, which means that's the will of God of worship. That's the will of God in worship. Do you hear it? When I pray, when I close, when someone pray in public, one of the elders or leaders, you should agree if you are a Christian. Okay? That's what the Bible teaches. It is God's will for corporate worship rooted in the biblical pattern of prayer and preaching. And this is what God desires. Listen to me carefully. God is calling us not to be isolated, silent, and disconnected in worship. You're worshiping in online. How do you be in agreement with the rest of the congregation? How do you possibly do that? God does not want you to be isolated, silent, or disconnected. The something of the very clear teaching of the scripture is Christians are like a body, a body. I have a very valuable hand. I used to practice dentistry. I did a lot of dental work. If this hand is cut, thrown over there, however valuable this thing is, this will be not only worthless, but it is dead. That's the teaching of the Bible. You have to have a proper theology of church or ecclesiology. That's what the scripture teaches. You worship on your own. Worship is about between me and God. So we turn all the lights off. Right? Why bother? Together then. Right? It is about corporate worship. It is about being a body of Christ. He doesn't want you to be isolated, silent, or disconnected in worship, privately coming, hearing, and you leave. A lot of people say worship is just a sermon. No, it's not. When we are praising God together. How many of you get encouraged when you hear other members of the congregation sing? Do you get encouraged? If you do, could you say amen? Absolutely. Absolutely, people. Absolutely. So you don't just sing it out. Sing it out, people. Sing it out. Privately coming, hearing and going, no one is able to tell what you love, what you long for, because you haven't expressed any resonance. And I love this expression. This is John Piper's expression. When I say amen, when I say in Jesus' name I pray, you echo with amen. I think that's beautiful. God loves that. This is God's people. When I pray for the longing and love for God and desire and petitioning to God, and you say amen. That's what God desires. Okay? We express our affirmation of the truth of God in the Word. And may we resonate, echo by saying amen. With Godward longing and yearning in prayer. Second teaching in 2 Corinthians chapter 1 is the major teaching. Stay up. Okay, listen. This is probably the most important teaching. It's all important, but I found 2 Corinthians teaching is central. Listen to this. In fact, can I have the clicker, please? Thank you. It's from 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 19 and 20. For the Son of God, Jesus Christ, whom we proclaim among you, Silvanus or Timothy and I, was not yes and no, but in him, it's always yes. Wow, it's a strong statement, isn't it? Jesus Christ was not yes and no, but in Christ, everything is yes. What is he talking about? Well, Paul is saying, because for all the promises of God find their yes in him, in Jesus. Big statement, isn't it? All the promises of God find yes, their yes in Jesus. He's not yes and no. He's not wishy-washy. You find it always yes. That is why it is through him, through Christ, we, Christians, utter our amen to God for his glory. It's an incredible statement. Do you know what I hear? Let me just summarize it for you. Jesus is God's yes, amen. Let me repeat that. Jesus is God's amen to all of his promises. Can I give you an example? My God, why are you forsaking me? That was prophesied in the Psalms thousands of years ago. Who prayed that prayer? Jesus on the cross. Do you remember that? Jesus was on the cross. Son of God, Jesus was on the cross. And he prayed. He literally cried out to the Lord, Lord, my God, why are you forsaking me? He prayed, and God answered, amen, amen. Jesus prayed on the cross, I am thirsty, prophesied in the Old Testament. And God said, amen. Do you hear it? You know, this week I was thinking about this, reading Spurgeon. And I talked to pastors Paul Park and June. So deeply moved. He said, my God, why are you forsaking me? And God said, amen, amen. Jesus is God's amen. I'm thirsty. Amen. Cursed is everyone who hang on a tree, prophesied in Deuteronomy. And God said, Amen. It's amazing, isn't it? Right? Christ affirms and secures them. Jesus himself is the amen to all God's promises, 300 of them and more of them, all God's word. His coming and his word. When Jesus said, truly, truly, I say to you, unless you're born again, you're a fake. And God says, amen. God says, amen. Unless you're born again, you will not enter into the kingdom of heaven. And God says, amen. 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 His death and his resurrection, his fulfillment of God's promise of salvation, it is God's yes, God's fulfillment to all of his promises. His will, plan of salvation, Jesus affirms and fulfills. And Jesus is God's yes and amen to all of his promises. Can you imagine God says something and he never followed through? Are you like that? You say one thing, but you don't follow through. Does anybody like people like that? Can you trust people like that? You say one thing, but you don't follow through. Can you imagine God says one thing and he doesn't follow through? But he followed through Christ already. Amen. Okay. By being one with Christ, if you are in Christ, you are one with Christ. And that's what communion means. Brothers and sisters, I want to share you something. Don't take this communion table lightly. I'm going to read it to you. Bible says clearly, examine your life. Do you mean what you're doing? Otherwise, don't do it, because Bible follow through with a warning. Follow through with a warning. It says, if you don't examine your life and take this communion, that's why so many people are sick and they are lost and they even died. Don't do it. Yes, we come to the table only by faith and only by grace, but don't do it mindless and ritually. Don't do it, okay? That's what this means, to be united with Christ. Do you mean to be united with Christ and just chuck other women in your life, other men in your life? If you are, would you say amen? I'm going to ask again. Yeah. If you mean to say all the other women, all other loves of your life, and you're going to love Christ, and you want to be united with him, would you say amen? Amen? Otherwise, don't do it. Don't do it. Bible says don't do it. Don't take this lightly. Don't do it. Warning you. God is warning you. Okay? That's what it means to be united with Christ. When you are united with Christ, all of his promises, God is saying, amen to you. Amen to you. Are you truthful and sincere to God? I'm just asking you. I'm not trying to doubt you. Are you truthful and sincere to God? You love Christ and you have other concubines. And you keep saying, that's okay. Bible says it's not okay. It's not okay. The latter half of this verse says that is why. Because all the promises of God find yes in Christ. That amazing gospel truth. That is why it is through Jesus, we utter amen to God for his glory. In other words, if you're a Christian, when you say amen because of Christ, you glorify God. Isn't that great? Isn't that great? It's like this. God has said amen through Jesus. And because of Jesus and through Jesus, we say amen back to God. God has said yes, he made all the promises. And through Jesus, he said amen. And because of Jesus and through Jesus, we Christians say amen to God to glorify God. I hope you understand this dynamic. That's the place of amen. That's the theology of amen. And that's what it means to say amen from your heart. Okay? Lastly, one last place I want to introduce is in Book of Revelations, chapter 5. Revelations to us is future, but it is already. Do you hear me? It is already happening. Already, but for us, not yet. Because we still have more years on this side of eternity. And then there's going to be eternity. Let me say it again. We still have a few more years. Okay, plenty of years. 30, 40 years, perhaps. And then there is eternity. And this describes eternal worship of the kingdom people, Christians. And it's magnificent, people. Magnificent. Let me read it to you. Revelation chapter 5. I'm just reading a couple verses. You should read the whole thing. It is magnificent. Can you imagine how many people will be gathered there? From all tribes and nations. It's not just Asians. It's not just Caucasians. It's not just Koreans. From all tribes and nations. And you are not the most important person there. I am not the most important person there. I am not the most important person here. I preach God's word. I deliver God's word to you. But I am not the most important person. He is the most important person. His word is the most important thing. You are not the most important person here. Revelation chapter 5, verse 14. Here's the magnificent worship that we will be worshiping if you are in Christ. And it looks like it is written like this. I heard every creature in heaven, on earth, and under the earth, and in the sea. That's pretty comprehensive, right? Every creature, every creation in heaven, on earth, under the earth, in the sea, and all that is in them saying to him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb be blessing and honor and glory forever and ever and ever and ever. Do you hear the worship? And then it says, and then the four living creatures said, heavenly creatures said, amen, amen, continuous amen, amen, thunderous amen, waterfall-like amen. Not like our amen. I hope you have a desire to worship him by saying amen. This is worship in heaven, where God and Jesus, who sits on the throne, and the Lamb who was slain, will be worshiping him for how long? 1 hour? We Westerners, Americans and Koreans, have trouble worshiping for 1 hour. I went to Russia many years ago, and I was very, very tired. And we went right to the Sunday worship service. Okay? And because we were visitors and missionaries, we were sitting in the front and where congregation was looking at us. So can you imagine? I'm so tired. And everything is in Russian. There was a preaching by the preacher for like an hour and 15 minutes. I was like, oh man, I don't understand the thing that goes on. And for some reason, another elder comes in and starts preaching again for another 40 minutes. And then there was a praise, and the conductor turns around and begins to preach again for 4 hours and 30 minutes. And these are the Christians who went through Christianity and their faith under persecution, many of them showing their nails pulled out by the police. They worship for 4 hours and 30 minutes. I remember going to Africa about 20 years ago. I went to a place called Ajumani. Sounds like a Korean word, but it's not. It's a place. I went to a place called Ajumani, and so many people walked and gathered. Maybe, I don't know, 200 people. They asked me to go and preach. So I didn't know what to say. So I prepare a message. I preach for 20 minutes. And I sat down. And the missionary says, what was that? Get up there again. What do you mean, get up there again? I just preached and it sat down. No, get up there again. They walked 3 hours to get here. Listen to the word of God. They walked 3 hours to listen to God's word. And you preach for 20 minutes? You just insulted them. He says, I can't do it. I can't do it. A missionary gets up, start preaching. I don't know whether he prepared for like hour and 15 minutes. We have trouble worshiping for 1 hour. We have trouble people coming to church worship service on time. One out of one hour, people have trouble coming on time. Consistently. We have trouble staying for the benediction. They just leave. Yeah, worship is about sermon. No, it's not. No, it's not. In heaven, we're going to be worshiping how long? Forever and ever and ever. If you find worship tiring, man, you're in trouble. How many of you love worshiping? If you mean it, would you say amen?
Amen.
I'm serious, people. When we pray amen, Spurgeon said, I could wish more uniformly and universally. The New Heart Mission Church will say amen. I do too. I do too. I don't know why you can't say amen. It's not cultural. I personally really am convinced that it is spiritual. It really is spiritual. What does that signify when we say amen? It is that support, of course, on a lower level, it is supporting the person who is praying, whether it is an elder or a pastor or one of the leaders, one of the congregation member prays and pours his heart out and you say, amen, amen. And at the end, you say, amen. Support. But much more importantly, you are consenting, you're agreeing, and you're honoring, and you're worshiping God when you say amen. That's what amen is. And Spurgeon wrote, it's a powerful moment at the end of a prayer. A deeply felt, agreed amen is said by the entire congregation. That's a powerful moment. Can we practice once? Perhaps we'll do better from this day on. When I say count one, two, three, we all say amen. Okay? One, two, three. Not thunderous, not waterfall-like, out of the heart, amen, Lord. I agree, I consent, I petition, amen. Just one more time, okay? One, two, three.
Amen.
The real question is, when someone like myself or other elder pray, do you want to say amen? That's the real question. I pray often, Lord, may people get off the train that leads to destruction, which is of the world. Let them get off and turn around and get on the train with Christ, which goes opposite direction. I often pray that. Do you say amen to that? Or are you contemplating? That's the real question, isn't it? Are you longing for what they're praying for? What they're longing for? Do you want to echo that? Do you have that desire or do you not? Maybe you don't. That's the real question, isn't it? Are you glorifying and loving God that they are honoring and praising? That's the real question. If not, what are you doing, people? What are you doing? Can I just give you an illustration? I'm married for 35 years. And there are something that is very, very important to me. There are things that at times that really bothers me. There are things that really, really mean something that's meaningful to me. There are something that really, really hurtful to me. Right? I could have that, right? And I tell my wife, Ellen, Ellen, listen to me. This really, really, really is important to me. This really, really, really bothers me. This really, really, really hurts me. And this really, really is the most important thing to me. And imagine Ellen looks at me. Okay. And just go on. Can you imagine that relationship? What is that relationship? There is no relationship. Imagine God speaks to his people. Imagine God speaks to his people. The most important thing, most hurtful thing, most meaningful thing. And you're like, okay, what's for lunch? Can you imagine that? I hope you are hearing it. A person, pastor, pours out his heart to God in a prayer and in preaching, and there is a complete awkward silence afterward. Then after the service, people come alive. And you begin to check the phone as if you couldn't wait 1 hour. Like people walk out looking at their phone and forget that I'm standing there trying to greet you. What does that mean? What do you think that means? When someone preaches and prays, you whisper, amen. Mm-hmm. Yes, Lord. That's worship, people. That's worship. Honoring God. Not only supporting the person who is praying or preaching, but you are honoring and worshiping God. We're going to take communion. Are you going to take with amen heart? Or are you going to take it with ritualistic heart? Don't do that. It's not good for you if you do that. In closing, amen is God's word. He made it. It's all over the scripture. God says amen. To him be glory and honor and praise forever and ever. Amen. And there are so many of them in the New Testament. Doxology, and then it says amen. Who's saying that amen? Who's writing that amen? Of course it's Paul or Peter, whoever is writing that epistle. But who's writing that? Who's saying that? It is through the inspiration of Holy Spirit, which means God is saying amen. God is saying, yes, I assert that. That's true. To him be glory and honor and praise forever and ever. Amen. And the whole world is saying, there is no eternity. I hope you listen. Jesus is God's amen in all of his promises. Think about that. His law. God's law is good. Would you say amen? Why? Because it reveals him. Reveals his character. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and your soul and mind and strength. And love your neighbors. Basically, it's the summary of the law. That's a bad thing? And we can't say amen to that, but Jesus is the amen. He fulfilled the law. Right? His sacrificial system, thousands of lambs and cows and pigeons could not wash away sin. But Jesus is the Lamb of God who hung on a tree, and God said, amen, amen. On the cross, Jesus showed God's love and justice. People say, I want justice. Bible promises that you will see justice. Bible promises you that you will see justice, people. But cross is the justice of God, as well as it is the love of God. Would you submit to that? Spurgeon shared, Jesus says on the cross, and he prayed, Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani. My God, why are you forsaking me? The whole sin was upon him. And the wrath of God was pouring upon him. He was in hell. And he goes, my God, why are you forsaking me? That's the that's the promise of God that is written in the Psalms. He's praying to God, why are you forsaking me? And God says, amen. Amen. He said amen to the word, cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree. That is why all his promises are yes and amen in Jesus. And if you put your life in him, communion, all the promises of God is yes and God's amen to you in Christ. I hear no amen to that. Delayed. Yeah. All the promises of God in him are yes, amen in him. So that is why it is through Jesus we utter our amen to the glory of God. Would you be willing to do that? I don't know about you. I want to do that. That's why when someone pray, whether it is Pastor Tim, I must call you Paul, or whoever is praying, I say it in my spirit, amen. Yes, yes, Lord. I want to see that happen. I want to see that people in this congregation truly come to know Christ. Yes, amen to that. I agree to that. I consent to that, Lord. I petition to that. Okay. Friends, our amen to God, would you willing to say? Would you still hesitant to say amen? Would you be sincere to him? Would you be truly to him? Would you agree to him? And you're going to do marriage better? If you don't, what's the chance of you going to do marriage better than that? There is no chance, people. Our hearts need to be melted by this God who said amen on the cross. Our heart need to be melted, people, who said amen. By curses everyone who is hung on a tree. If that does not melt your heart needs to be brought before the Lord. Let's pray.